Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 150 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually happening, to meet the people that make theater happen. Just a quick reminder that you can download and subscribe to the podcast from the Apple Podcast app or from iTunes. That way your feed will be automatically updated when we release episodes. But you can also listen to us on many other podcast streaming services such as Stitcher and Google Play and things like that. But I urge you to go to the Broadway Podcast Network and check out all of our colleagues and our stablemates podcasts for all your theater podcast fixes. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. And if you're on iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher, if you can rate and review our podcast, if you have a spare 30 seconds, that will help us reach more theater lovers out there. And now for today's episode. The National Theater over here in the UK have been streaming their NT Live broadcasts on YouTube for free so that those needing a theater itch scratched during lockdown could do just that as part of their National Theater Live at Home series. Thank you to the National Theater for doing this over the past few months. We appreciate the effort and the generosity of all those involved. And this week is the final production in the series, Amadeus. The award-winning revival hit the stage in 2017. Before that, it was last seen at the Olivier stage in 1979. It was a stunning revival, and to see it on the Olivier stage was an absolute experience. We're lucky here at Curtain Call to have had the access to chat with all those involved in the production and wanted to bring you some of those conversations we had there 3 years ago, led by the luminous Lucien Massimati as a sizzling Salieri. Just saying those words is giving me goosebumps. So we just thought we'd bring you an encore episode of our 39th episode way back in 2017 to celebrate the finale of what has been a great initiative from the National Theatre of a fantastic, truly fantastic production of Amadeus. Have a listen. Now, Amadeus tells the story of the Iago-esque Salieri, played by Lucien Massimati, and his increasingly jealous nature over the newest musical prodigy in the Vienna orchestral scene, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, played brilliantly by Adam Gillan. Peter Schaeffer's play was amazingly restaged in this production by Michael Longhurst, who you might know from our coverage of Linda at the Royal Court. Longhurst knew that he couldn't just rehash the original for today's audiences, so he employed an orchestra of around 20 musicians to join the cast on stage and basically created an uber ensemble, everyone moving as one. It was a joy to watch. And I wanted to talk to the company about that process of rehearsing with musicians who had never had the opportunity of getting out from behind their instruments. But also, I had a chance to talk to some of the musicians about having to get out of their comfort zones and get comfortable with telling the story through movement as well as music. So let's have a listen.
Conducting an orchestra,
yeah,
in the show.
Incredible.
How did that come about? What was the rehearsal process to bring you to that space?
Well, we knew there would be a live orchestra involved when we started, and we had 2 weeks, just the acting company together, kind of working out a sort of language for the play, a language of movement, a sort of way to tell the story. And then they joined us 2 weeks in and we all became part of one big ensemble, really, and we all work together and everybody does everything and to hear them play such wonderful music so beautifully, it supports everything. It just raises everything out of the ordinary and makes it really magical.
Well, I'm hoping to talk to a few musicians because they it's not something that they normally get to do. They actually become, I mean, they perform and they move. Their movement was incredible.
Yeah, really good, aren't they? Yeah, I don't think they often, I don't think they get the chance to do that in their world. I think often it's quite, it's sat behind music and playing, and it's quite strict and kind of disciplined, but they've really taken to expression, and we all love them for it, for the commitment. It's unbelievable, because I've never worked with musicians in this way before, but you don't even think about who's an actor and who's not. It's all, we're all one big family telling the story.
And you definitely move as one as well. It's like you said, I think the movement's pretty spectacular. Well, along with music and
that's Imogen Knight, she's absolutely brilliant, and along with Michael the director, the way they've interwoven those disciplines.
It's quite a small world, movement when you see what you guys do on stage, because there's a lot more than just movement. You guys are integral to the story, to the plot, to the storytelling. You guys in certain moments are, I mean, properly moving as a dancer might, or you know, how freeing was that to kind of to approach the music in that way?
I personally find it very freeing. I know a lot of musicians who wouldn't feel the same,
which is fine,
which is also completely fine, but for me, I've not had the permission to do what I can do in this production ever before. Never have we been, as you said, so integral to narrative, but also just to the general aesthetic. I mean, often you see sort of cross-eyed type things where you've got a musician sort of near a dancer, or they're on stage in some way. But with this production, it's been such a pleasure to really be part of a company, like really be part of a company. I mean, really contribute to numbers, not just in your basic function of playing the instrument, to really feel like you contribute to the play as a whole is really, really special.
And as a company, how quickly did you guys gel? Because you are an ensemble, I mean, with the orchestra and with the production, stage management as
well. Yeah, we're one big family. It's amazing.
And how was the rehearsal room like once it all kind of came together?
It was buzzing. It was always electric, because the actors, the singers, and the instrumentalists all had such, they were in such awe of everyone else. Everyone was amazed by everyone else's skills and talents. And it was just the most electrical place. It's been amazing, because, and we all have gained so much from each other, which has been the most wonderful thing.
You've got the musicians who may not necessarily be used to moving as they've done.
I think, but the beauty of the process, what we'd gone through, because it had been so organic, I mean, the musicians felt the way. It wasn't like the musicians were forced into sort of like doing any particular things.
Really,
it was about a naturalness.
I think they've all really enjoyed it. They've all really enjoyed how interdisciplinary it's been, and also how for them it's a totally different experience. And they're playing their instruments all the time, obviously, so they're doing their jobs, but I think they've really enjoyed doing something different.
Yeah.
As have we. I mean, going back to the rehearsal process and stuff, I never thought I'd find it like just part of my daily routine to watch a 20 strong orchestra playing Mozart.
Yeah.
And in like week five of rehearsals, you're looking around and people are sort of on their phones whilst this 20 strong orchestra are playing like act four from The Marriage of Figaro, and it's just like, in what other world would you actually be able to say you've got used to that?
It's like a ballroom dance.
It's I think one of, I'm completely biased of course, but I think one of our director Mike's, one of his star turns, one of his masterstrokes, was to obliterate the lines between the different disciplines. So from day dot, we were a company. There was no, oh, there's actors here, there's musicians there, there's singers there. No, we're all in this together. And that, you know, I think that helped us. I mean, because the other thing is, what's the point of doing this particular play in 2017 if you're going to dust off, you know, what was done however many years ago?
Sure.
You know.
I'd never been through a process like that before. I don't know about you, but I've never been through anything which was so organic. It literally, it did grow. And the two directors who sort of shaped it, the Michael Longhurst and Imogen Knight, the movement director, they were just very generous. And they'd sort of throw bits of bread onto the water, and they just let us play. And you know, eventually somebody would sort of say, do a bit less of that or do a bit more of that.
Yeah.
And it just grew.
And that's what I think is exciting about this production, is that in the past, in previous productions, you know, in recent years, it's been done almost as a chamber piece, you know, almost as a studio production in scale. Because you can, when you look at the cast list and who actually speaks. But what the gift of the Olivier doing it and having the show back since its original production, and the concept Michael's had about the orchestra and live music, is that suddenly the invitation is to fill the space.
Yeah.
And with the scale of the music, with the scale of the story, suddenly you, and then you see it and you think, how could it be done any other way? With, you know, because I think in the original production they were a little bit nervous of overshadowing the play, which wasn't familiar with the music, because Mozart's music is always going to be, will upstage anything.
Yes, of course.
But I think since that's been tested, and obviously the play has been, is rock solid and much loved, it's lovely to bring the music back, which they did for the film, but obviously with this, with the live element and the orchestra's integration into the production, I think it's really unique and exciting. Yeah.
But there is a moment that catches me nearly every performance where I'm really sort of taken away by how beautiful it is, and I don't think it ever gets boring. The serenade.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I got chill bumps.
Yeah.
Literally today.
And I think the thing about, like me, before doing this, I had no interest in classical music, but now I can attach a story to so many of these songs and so much of the period and so much about these two characters. That have a completely different relationship and appreciation and for it.
For me, it was like a playground.
Really?
Because I was just so fascinated by, you know, just being around people with a completely different skill set and having no clue how to play an instrument. So I was more fascinated. I'm sure they probably would say the same thing, but I was more fascinated to see them play and hear them play. I kept using this analogy of being in like a zoo and sort of equating every instrument to a particular animal. So that's what it was like for me.
I just thought it was such a privilege. Like I've never really been to see an orchestra play, so then to be involved with them so closely, like you have to pay for that kind of thing.
And we
were just coming to work every day, and you know, it was really, really exciting.
What was lovely is that. Apart from Imogen, who's a wonderful movement director, I think Michael Longhurst, our director, it is leadership, but it was just, what am I trying to say? He's engaged so creatively, and he's so open and wants to play, and that everyone responds to that. Everyone wants the show to be good, and the orchestra was so young and so up for it, and were so much more willing to do crazy things that people would never expect an orchestra to do, and that fed us as actors, and I think them, you know, for many of them it was the first time they'd seen what actors do or work with actors, they felt inspired by us, and so it was this really wonderful mutual journey and adventure and excitement, and when you could start to see and hear what certain moments in the show would be like for audiences, we got really excited and
together.
I mean, I've never been in a production where the orchestra are choreographed on stage, so that's very exciting from our point of view, because normally orchestra are either in a pit or side of stage or in front of you or behind you in a concert hall, so it's very exciting. And I mean, in terms of costume changes, I've certainly never done this many costume changes, but it's keeping me very fit.
I never ever in my life thought that I would sing Mozart in public for somebody who's actually paid for a ticket. And possibly the people who paid for a ticket hadn't thought that was going to happen either.
I did think, was, you know, I've seen some of your cast on stage before and never heard them sing. I was just wondering how much lip syncing is going on, guys.
Well, there are six opera singers.
I think I've just broken your chair.
Oh my God, he has as well.
Look at that. Look at that. I have broken the chair.
The accusation of lip syncing.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take it.
Of course, this business of ours, you know, the shiny, sparkly end of it is magazine covers, is, you know, award ceremonies, is, you know, this so-called celebrity lifestyle.
Sure.
But actually, that only represents 0.01% of what actually happens. And the real beauty, the real joy, satisfaction is when you're in a room with people together making something.
Yeah.
You know, that is, you know, being happy to get up every day and come to work. What a joy.
That's
a
success, isn't it?
A joy to be playing make-believe, you know, and to be able to share whatever it is, you know, with people. And that has been quite special.
Yeah.
That's been really special.
That is an encore episode of the Curtain Call Theater podcast. Way back, episode 39. We're now on, 150? So you can do the math. Now, before I go, just a few housekeeping bits. Follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Curtain Call, and follow me at John Schwab. We'd love to hear if you have any feedback for the podcast or any suggestions. Just get in touch with me via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned, or write to me at john@curtaincallonline.com. Big thank you to Shure Microphones again for sponsoring this episode. Thank you to all of you for listening to the Curtain Call Theater podcast. As lockdown restrictions gradually ease, they announced that theaters are going to be open from August 1st here. No productions yet, but as they ease, just please stay safe. Continue to wash your hands, wear a mask when you can. Let's get this industry back up safe. And just check in with somebody every day. Check in with somebody, see how they're doing. You might just make their day. I will see you guys soon, and thank you for listening. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.